So, you heard the story there in Top Stories and Trending about the, well, they listed three officers in the story, but if I'm not mistaken, it involves one or two more on top of that.
That is correct.
Time to welcome back in Bill Profita. What's happening, brother?
Well, just out there serving the interest of the public, this time without sarcasm.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to hold my disbelief until 7:30 when we get you back out on the road. All right, so the story, a judge has forced the delay of disciplinary hearings for three Baton Rouge police officers arrested amid investigations into the street crimes unit. From the police union's standpoint, walk me through a little bit about what has been seen so far and what you would like to see.
Well, you know, yesterday at this time, we were saying the attorneys had asked for a continuance of this hearing, which was scheduled for today.
Right.
Because they are all tied up in federal court on other cases. The chief said no. And we're very glad that Judge Tarval Smith saw the merit in the request for relief and granted a temporary restraining order. What we have is what we believe to be a rush to judgment here.
Okay.
These four officers have, in fact, been arrested.
Mm-hmm.
But they have not yet been charged or indicted with anything. And there is a precedent that came with Chief Murphy Paul. And it has applied to several officers. But the case that everybody will remember is former Officer Donald Steele. Donald Steele was the officer who made a traffic stop on Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
A young lady who attended Southern University at the time, may still attend, he told her, well, you're too pretty to go to jail. And he escorted her to a warehouse near Hollywood Casino and fondled her and propositioned her. She has said that she was afraid to resist his advances. Anyway, he was caught immediately for that.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is he was placed on administrative leave, even though he was charged with felony malfeasance in office, felony kidnapping, and sexual battery.
Okay.
Now, he stayed on admin leave at the police department until such time as he was actually billed, charged by the grand jury, at which point he was terminated. We had a strong belief that there was going to be a termination or two involved in these hearings scheduled for yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And
no, scheduled for today.
For today, excuse me. And basically our point is follow the precedent and procedure and protect the rights of these officers until such time as they are formally charged, because they may not be formally charged. And that way you protect the integrity of the system. You protect their rights, and your rights to do an internal disciplinary action are not mitigated in any way. You still have those rights. But this is a precedent that was established under the current chief, mm-hmm. and it should apply to everybody. Now, the next chief may say, I don't like that precedent, and he or she may change that, which is their prerogative. But right now, we are dealing with what is.
Okay, when it comes to precedents, is this an apples-to-apples thing? The Donald Steele incident you mentioned, that's a rogue cop doing rogue things.
Mm-hmm.
The street crime unit and the street crimes unit and the Brave Cave could be argued as more of a systemic problem that is deep into the veins of BRPD, which would change the motivation of the chief, would it not?
Well, here's the whole thing. Police officers do not have as many rights as you or I do. For example, in the internal affairs investigation, the interview as they call it,
mm-hmm.
they cannot ask for counsel. They can't say, I'm invoking my Fifth Amendment right. They have to tell the truth, and they have to participate.
Mm-hmm.
In the disciplinary hearing, there is a different set of rules where they do have counsel present, but whatever they say there cannot be used against them in a court of law as opposed to the IA investigation. And, you know, the Brave Cave incident has gotten a lot of publicity because of the lawsuits. I believe there are three of them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But is it good public policy to change longstanding precedent because there is a suspicion that there is a larger problem. And I would say that that's exactly the same as going in to an economic deprived neighborhood and saying, well, that guy's got to be doing something because he lives here. Let's snatch him up. In other words, the rules should apply to everybody. Look, the union is not here to call balls and strikes. That's not what we do. We are here, and we put it on paper many, many times. You have it in front of you. We are here to ensure that the process is done in a completely fair, thorough, open manner, in alignment with current procedures and precedents. That's all. We're not saying don't look into it. We're not saying don't charge them. We're saying we want the procedure to be fair. And you know, to be honest, another reporter asked me yesterday about, well, isn't this so serious and the public so outraged that they should do something immediately? And I'm saying, it's not the way it works in this country.
No, no. And I wouldn't even walk down that path, Bill, because it's due process is due process regardless of the pearl-clutching shock and awe of the crime.
Yeah, and again, nobody has really proven that this is in any way widespread. Now, I think that they're going to do a very thorough investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to speculate on what that may bring. But we are talking about this particular hearing and a precedent that has been in place with someone, by the way, who is awaiting felony charges in his day in court for much more serious crimes.
Let's walk down that path real quick because we're still waiting on felony charges for Steele, right?
No, he has been charged. He hasn't just had his trial yet.
We're not waiting for charges. We're waiting for outcome.
Yes.
Okay, so is it the perspective of the police union simply to wait for charges? Or because even when you're charged, you're not proven guilty yet.
Yeah, but again, being charged with a felony is normally an offense where you can, when you're billed by the grand jury, not just when you're arrested.
Right.
When you can be terminated. But your recourse, see, that you've got under the police officer's Bill of Rights follows you into the courtroom. If they terminate them now, a lot of their recourse for internal appeal and going to the municipal police civil service board, that gets delayed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sitting there in limbo. So since the precedent has been established, we would just like to have the courtesy of it being followed. And again, the other issue of legal counsel saying, we have a conflict, can you give us a 2 or 3 day postponement? And they said no. That raised a lot of eyebrows. You don't deny people that you are internally investigating
mm-hmm.
their right to counsel. And it seems like it was set up to be rather hasty, to tell you the truth. There's hundreds of pages of documents.
Let's walk down that path, too, though. Is there motivation behind the presumed haste?
That's a question for somebody else.
And I think we had him on yesterday. But that's because you're looking at the intersection, or the Venn diagram, if you will, of a number of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Is, like you said, the level of severity of the street crimes unit. I can understand a want to mm-hmm. get to justice quickly, even if it's not, quote-unquote, justice because it was rushed. But there's also the turnover in chief. I can understand from the chief's perspective wanting to say, this happened on my watch, I want it settled on my watch.
Well, you know, this chief settled something that didn't happen on his watch when he first came into office.
Walk me back through that, because that was a good minute ago.
Well, that was the Alton Sterling case and Officer Blaine Salamone.
Yes, yes.
His chief went out of his way to say that the department had hired a defective officer. He wasn't here when this happened. He wasn't part of the investigation.
No, but he was privy to all the investigation that came down as a result of it.
Well,
he was
privy to a federal investigation that cleared both officers.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me, when was the last time a federal civil rights investigation cleared two white police officers?
Yeah,
never.
I'm going to fail to come up with an example for that. I'm sure it's happened, but I'm failing to come up with an example.
And then they were cleared by the state investigation led by the Attorney General's Office and the state police. But the other side of this point is, why wouldn't you say, you know what, I'm a little too close to this, and I'm out the door in 5 days or 6 days or whenever it is. let's let the new chief with a new set of eyes take a look at this.
That's the hang up that I have, though, for lack of a better phrase, recuse yourself. That's not the proper phrase for it, but that's the closest I have for this one. We've only got a couple minutes left. Well, we've got about 5 minutes left. I've got to ask you, you bought a week, or the police union bought a week here. Is that enough time?
Well, I that is a question for the attorneys, but from the sense of the quote that Kyle Kershaw gave to news media last night, he believes that will be enough time to go through all the information. As he said, there's hundreds of pages of documents that we have to read through and be ready to defend. So, yeah, they believe that that is probably enough time.
Okay, so the follow-up to that, though, is it's enough time to review documents and it's enough time to prep the case, but if the precedent is to wait till charges, do you foresee charges being brought within that same week?
Well, I think that they cannot hurry the grand jury. We have found that out many, many times.
Right. So come December 20th, when this hearing's supposed to happen, when this hearing's been pushed back to, aren't we going to be in the same boat from a waiting on the grand jury standpoint?
Well, the lawyers may be quite persuasive and make a good case that we should just wait on the discipline. I mean,
okay. If they can push it back once, they can push it back more.
Or they can just say, here's where we're going to sit. We're going to sit like you did with Donald Steele and Donald Johnson and a couple of others and wait until we see whether or not these people get indicted. And again, the departmental right for internal discipline does not go away.
Right. I got Bill Profita for just a couple more minutes. Some house cleaning on the case itself. Is this one lump case from the police union standpoint, or are all these guys going to be looked at individually?
You're talking about the four that we're referring to?
Yes.
They all have separate counsel. I think that they were scheduled for separate disciplinary hearings on the same day. The answer is technically, I really don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, because the process still has to play itself out.
Exactly.
So, and the other part of this is involving the street crimes unit itself. The street crimes unit has been disbanded.
Yes.
The Brave Cave is no more.
Yes.
Does that affect things when it comes to not union service, but perception?
Well, you know, again, the union did not operate that evidence warehouse. The police department did. The union did not constitute and then deconstitute the street crimes unit. The chief of police did. The union represents our members on matters of collective bargaining for our contract and our salary and benefits, and also for making sure that any complaints or disciplinary measures are done in a fair, straightforward manner. The union has no input into policy, procedures, units, things like that. All the street crimes members, other than these four, have been assigned to other units. They're still out on patrol. They're still operating as police officers.
You were very clear earlier on talking about how when it comes to the union, you're not calling balls and strikes. You're not here to talk about the merits of the case.
That's correct.
Everything the police union has to say about is about timeline right now.
Timeline and fairness, yes.
He is Bill Profita, speaking on behalf of the Baton Rouge Union of Police. When we get to December 20th, I'm getting stuck on the fact that this is such a short period of time to push this back. It is a shanked punt, if you will.
Well, when you're asking for extensions and delays in proceedings, you got to kind of work with what you get.
I guess so.
And if the attorneys call you and say, hey, we want to come on and scream about that timeline, then they're going to have a lot more to say because they know more about it than I do.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And at that point, it would be completely in the attorney's hands to take over and say, hey, it's Christmas. Yeah. Lighten up until the new year.
And the real question is, and again, I mean, please believe me, I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but we don't know when Chief Paul is actually going to retire.
I thought that was where you were going with that. Yes, because he retired on November 6th. Like, that was the initial date. And I've had him on the show twice since then, And it's like, man, you've got to be itching to get out the door.
Well, and there's a send-off party for him this Saturday, but nobody says that's when he's also leaving his office. And the mayor is out of town this weekend. Way above my pay grade.
10 seconds left in the segment, and we have all that to unpack. He is Bill Perfetta. I greatly appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.